chapter 12. Ooh, I forgot my glasses. Chapter 12, Genesis. Abram is now the subject of the gospel in the Old Testament. Now, there's so much to say about Abram. Tonight, we start with Abram. Of course, his first name means High Father. When God changed his name, Abraham means father of a multitude. And so it shows that he was a different man. And of course, God saved Abram. It wasn't always so. Abraham, or as Matthew 1:1 says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So that's pretty prominent. He's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it wasn't always so. Abraham wasn't always a saved man. I'm going to show you that in a moment. But when God saved him, he was no different than any other sinner. In fact, Abraham was an idolater, like Terah, his father. And I'll show you that in a moment. But we're just going to read one passage here. And I think it was lesson 37, right, Chris? That was what is justification? Abraham was one of the most prominent examples of justification by faith in all of the scriptures. And I just want to kind of stick in Romans. Sometimes there's some goodness in just sticking to one text. We can go all over the place. I mean, next week we're going to look at the covenant that God made with Abraham, which is really a covenant that God swore with himself because it was going to come to pass. And there's a certain aspect of that covenant that is still coming to pass today. Of course, there was the land promise, and then there was, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That was pure gospel to Abraham. In fact, if you're there in Genesis 12, the scripture here says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. Pretty powerful. And then here, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let's pray. Help us, Father, we pray, as we open the scriptures and look at this wonderful doctrine of justification by faith in Christ through the life of Abraham, an Old Testament saint. And Father, really a very prominent example that you led the Apostle Paul to teach to the Christians at Rome. Father, still very relevant for us. And I pray that you'd help us to see this truth tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's Abraham called to leave his family. It's almost like the Zebedee boys. Forsake your nets and follow me. So Jesus is telling Abraham, or Abram at the time, follow me. Leave your family, leave your country, leave your kindred, and go. Now, what was Abraham when God called him? And you know, we could go to Acts 7, but for the sake of time, in fact, Stephen, in his apology to the self-righteous Jews, he talked about God calling Abram when he was still in Mesopotamia, which I think is the same as Ur of the Chaldees. But if you look at Joshua 24, this tells us about Abraham and his father before he left Ur of the Chaldees. Joshua 24:1 says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto the people, all the people that is, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. Now, he's not talking about the flood of Noah's day. He's talking about the River Jordan, I believe, in that time. He says, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. Now, you don't have to turn back there, but in Genesis 12:4, the Bible says when God spoke to Abraham and God told him to depart, verse 4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So he obeyed the call of God. He believed God. And so, beloved, that's what happens when God calls a sinner. That sinner comes. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham obeyed God. Now, turn to Genesis 15:6, and this is really the verse that I want to focus on. And I'm not going to read the part before this. This is when God promised to multiply Abram's seed as the stars of the heaven. And this is when Abram asked God, well, I don't have any sons. And he said, I just have this Eliezer that's part of my house. He says, that's not going to be your son. He said, I'm going to multiply your seed. And there'll be, if you look up at the skies, there'll be like the stars in the skies for multitude. And he says, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6, this is said of Abram. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. So this is the first time we actually see the language of, this is like New Testament gospel. Now, this doesn't mean this is the first time one believed in the Lord. This doesn't mean that Abram was the only one that was justified by faith in God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So was Noah. So was Enoch. So was Adam. And there were saints before this time. But as the scriptures begin to unfold, this is the language that we see as the gospel begins to unfold. Now, the Apostle Paul, in teaching justification by faith, he was earnestly contending for the truth of the gospel in the New Testament. We know in Galatians, in Romans, against the Judaizers. What the Judaizers were doing, you can read this in Acts chapter 15. They were saying, except you keep the law of Moses, except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And so he contended against that. And the way he did it in the book of Romans, which we're going to read in a moment, we're going to read a portion in the book of Romans. He went back before the Mosaic law, all the way back to Abram, all the way back to Abraham. And he uses this passage, actually. So he goes back to teach the truth that justification is not by the law of Moses. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And he uses the example of Abram and Abraham simply believing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you say, yeah, but Abram had to believe the gospel. True. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's not the only time that's written in Genesis. It's written several times. But we'll just read that one. But just listen, this is Galatians 3:8-9. The scripture says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. See that? The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Now, what was that gospel? Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So that's what we read in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. So that's the gospel that Abraham embraced and believed. And the Bible says that since Abram believed, God imputed righteousness unto him. He counted it to him for righteousness. Now listen, I know the truth of the gift of faith and that God gives us faith to believe in him and we exercise that faith. But listen, when we preach the gospel, we preach to a man's responsibility. So we tell sinners, believe in Christ, knowing that God must draw them unto himself and save them. But we preach, believe Christ, have faith in Christ. We say that knowing that all men don't have faith. But that's how we preach the gospel to sinners. We teach them, believe Christ, trust in his sacrifice on the cross for your sins. And he'll save you from your sins and he'll give you a righteousness that he approves of. And that's justification by faith. So Abram's faith, or Abraham's faith, was no different, Christian, than your faith in Christ. Abram believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now in Romans 4, I'll just read you this passage. This is now the New Testament, same thing, and it's also written in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. Well, I didn't finish that. In thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith, that is in Christ, are blessed with faithful Abraham. And then in Romans 4, the scripture says, but to him that worketh not, on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for God. And it was, he was counted righteous by God, which means he was declared, he was accounted, he was reckoned righteous because of Christ's perfect obedience and sinless sacrifice. And we're going to look at that in a moment. Listen, think about justification like this. It is almost synonymous with the word justice. So if we were going to be justified in the sight of God, if God was going to be just and justifier, justice had to be done on Jesus Christ. If justice was not done on Jesus Christ, then we cannot be justified before God. In fact, the opposite of justification is condemnation. So Christ had to be condemned in the place of us if we would be justified in the sight of God. Now, turn to Romans chapter 1. So Abram believed God. It was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And all who believe in Christ now, like Abram, are declared, reckoned, and made righteous, or imputed righteousness by God. So Romans 1:16, and then we'll get to the text that I want to read. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul says to the Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when the gospel was preached to Abram back in his time in Genesis chapter 12, the gospel of Christ revealed to him the righteousness which God gave him and approved of because of his faith in Christ. So he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He believed God's word. Now, Romans chapter 3, if you'll turn there, in this passage, when we get to chapter 4, Abraham is the primary example that Paul uses to convince the Jews that justification is not by the law, but by faith. And if you know anything about the book of Romans, Romans 1, he starts off by showing that we're all sinners. In chapter 2, he talks specifically to the Jews, and that goes all the way up to the beginning of chapter 3. He talks about the advantage of being a Jew. He says, what advantage did they have? And Paul says they had the chief advantage because God spoke to them through the prophets. And God revealed himself to them. But now, as chapter 3 gets to verse 9, Paul said, he asked this question, if you look at verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? In other words, are the Jews, are we better than the Gentiles? He says, no, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So what he's showing the Jews specifically, but also the Gentiles, is that there's no difference whether you're Jew or Gentile. We are all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there is, notice, we need the righteousness of God. Here, there is none righteous. There are none just in and of themselves. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God, either Jew or Gentile. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, Jews and Gentiles. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And so he shows that all are under sin, both Jews and Gentiles, outside of Christ. Without faith in Christ, there are none saved, and none can be justified except by Jesus Christ through faith in his blood. Now, let's move on. There's something very wholesome and good in reading a section in one book and understanding the context of what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So go on in verse 20, or verse 19. He says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." Means they're obligated to it. In other words, you're going to follow it? Well, you're obligated to follow it all. In fact, James talks about that. If you'll follow the law and you'll offend in one point, you're guilty of all of it. So he says, those who are under the law, they're obligated to follow it all. And he says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's what we're seeking. And listen, that's what we want. We want to be justified in the sight of God. And then he goes on to tell us, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law, now you know what the definition of that is? That's the gospel. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, they preached it. We read it just now in Genesis 12. You can read it in Genesis 15. You can read it in Isaiah 53. So the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. He goes on, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That's how you receive it. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, that is, between a Jew or a Gentile. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, verse 24 is a wonderful verse, because he goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, listen, we focus on those two words, justified freely. And we say we're justified freely by the grace of Jesus Christ. But don't miss the cost, because justification ain't totally free. Jesus Christ had to pay the penalty, the price for our sins. See that? We're justified by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He goes on to talk about that sacrifice, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. In other words, to satisfy the justice of God. Listen, this is all intertwined with our justification. This is how it comes to pass. God set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. Now you see that? It's a declaration. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now that's a category of people that lived before the time of Christ. So God set him forth to be a propitiation for those that were past. And we know that the blood of bulls and of goats could never satisfy God. And so God suffered that until the time of Christ. Those sins were passed, and God kind of held until Christ came, and those he made propitiation for those sins. And who was one of those? Abraham, the Old Testament saints. And so Christ, or God's righteousness, is declared for them. And then he says in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now listen, God couldn't just forgive sinners just say, hey, I just forgive you, just sweep it under the rug, you know, everything's okay. No, if God was going to be just, then the penalty had to be paid. And so the justice and wrath of God was upon Christ. He could not be the justifier of me or you, sinner that believe on Christ, unless his justice came forth upon his Son. And that's how justification happens. We're justified by his blood. And how can he justify us? Because of his perfect and sinless life and his obedience to the law of God. He went to that cross without blemish and without spot, without sin, and he died for the sins of the world. So Christ now, or rather I'd say God now, declares the sinner righteous. He pronounces him righteous. He imputes the righteousness of Christ to that believing sinner because of Christ to those that believe. And beloved, that's what God does. We're not just not guilty. He didn't just acquit us. He didn't just sweep our sins under the rug. No, our sins were laid upon Christ. And so now, for Christ's sake, we are declared righteous in the sight of God. And it's because God pronounces us righteous. And so then in verse 27, where is boasting then? And of course, he's got the Jews in mind here. It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, that is the Jews, and the uncircumcision through faith, that is the Gentiles. Do we then make void the law through faith? No, God forbid, we establish the law. Now, chapter 4, now Paul brings Abraham in. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? And of course he goes back to our passage in Genesis. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. Now, you see the word reward there. Your salvation's not a reward. It's not. If it was by works, it would be a reward. It would be a commendation. It would be merited, but it's not. So, now to him that worketh, it would be a reward, but it's not. It would be a debt. It would be owed to us. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Do you see that? God imputes his righteousness to those that believe in Jesus Christ. He gives his righteousness, and it's the only righteousness that he will accept. How does it come? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in his sacrifice. And God imputes that to those that believe. David, in verse 6, describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say, and this is important here, we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Well, we know not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. It was before that covenant of Genesis 17. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. He was a saved man when he was circumcised. Circumcised was a sign of the covenant that God made with the people of Israel who would descend from Abraham, that they believed God. It didn't mean they did, but it was a sign of the covenant that they should be circumcised. It says in verse 12, he was the father of circumcision to them who were not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law or of works be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, all of those that would believe like Abraham. Not to that only which is of the law, in other words, not only to the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He's the spiritual father of us all, brethren. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And again, speaking of Abraham here and of his faith, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, and this is in Genesis 15:5, so shall thy seed be. That's when he said, I believe you, God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And you see that about God's promise to him? And beloved, remember this. So often when we read the word of God, we consider the roadblocks down here. It says here, he considered not that he was 100 years old, past the time when normal men are able to have a child, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was not weak in faith. So often, beloved, we read the promises of God and we're weak in faith. And our faith is weak when we consider things down here and we think that's too hard for God to do. Abraham didn't do that. And listen, he is our example, brethren. We are to have his faith. We walk in his steps. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now listen, you might think about that and say, that's very daunting. There are things that I've prayed about and they've not come to pass. I think of the salvation of our loved ones. Sometimes we consider them and we stagger. Beloved, we're not to stagger in our faith. We're to believe God and we're to trust God. In fact, God promised Abraham the land. He never got it, but he died believing. And listen, that's how we need to be, brethren. We may not receive the things that we ask God for. We may not receive things that are promised to us, and we see them in the Holy Scriptures. But beloved, let us not stagger. Let us not consider things down here as being more or stronger than God. Beloved, let us not be weak in faith. Let us trust God. Let us go to the grave believing God. And that's how I want to be. If my children aren't saved, when God takes me to the grave, I want to die believing that he will. And so, beloved, we're to have the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all. Listen, you, all families of the earth shall be blessed in Abraham. You're a fulfillment of that promise because Christ came through the seed of Abraham and he died for your sins. And now you believe and now you have the same faith that he had. So he didn't stagger. He was strong in faith. He gave glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You see that? He believed God. He believed God. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, and here's where we come in, that it was imputed to him, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed. Now listen, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again, there it is, for our justification. Now, I know that's a long chapter, a long portion to read, beloved, but you can see how Paul pulls it all together. And he speaks of that only way that we can be made righteous in the eyes of God. And he's speaking to many of his brethren, the people of Israel. He's even speaking to Gentiles who they tried to put the yoke of the law on. And he says, that's not how it happens. Listen, he said in chapter 1 and verse 16, and I'll be finished, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed." And that's where we obtain it. Just two verses in Romans 8. Thinking of this, and thinking of our great salvation, thinking of our justification, thinking that God is my justifier. You think about that. Is God your justifier? Did Christ die for you? Was God's justice laid upon him for you? Did he suffer your condemnation so that now you might be seen as justified in his sight? When you think about that, you go here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And this is a power verse. It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns you? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. With all that in mind, beloved, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes on. I won't read the rest of it. But, beloved, listen. These are all legal terms. Justice, justification, condemnation. What I love here is, when Christ looks at you now, when God looks at you now, you know what he says? No charges. No charges. I see the righteousness of my Son in her, in him. And that righteousness came by Jesus Christ. God's justice was poured out upon him. And now he is my justifier. Man, that's, listen, this is just good stuff. Find yourself a quiet place and dig into some of this nice plush green pasture, and God will bless your soul, beloved. This is just, listen, and these are things that we need to be conversant in, beloved. Our souls need to be immersed in this truth, and it'll rejoice our hearts, and it'll come out of us like living waters out of our belly to others. We'll be able to speak of these wonderful things to others and share this great truth of God's great salvation. Amen. Well, let's be dismissed. Lord, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, O God, for the work that you have done, O God, all that you've done for our souls. Lord, we deserve not one bit of it. We're so thankful, O God, that, Father, your justice, the penalty, O God, of our sins was laid upon Christ. And now, Father, you justify us freely by your grace. But Lord, we know there was a cost, and there was our Lord's life, his blood, Father, his death on that horrible cross. But we're so thankful, oh God, so thankful. And we want to lift up our praise to you for our great salvation that you've given us in Christ. And we want to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.